Daniel Iridium asks, what if the sell resell thingy was put there intentionally, betraying Linen Lab's actual plans to sell SL as it is? As far as I know, they need rights over the content in our inventories in order to sell SL together with our user accounts. Otherwise, we'll wake up one day owned by some other company and with our inventories blank. Am I right in that?
I think that's probably a little far-fetched. Again, sell and resell refers to patent content. It doesn't refer to copyright content. Sell and resell, it's like modify and adapt refers to copyrighted content. Sell, resell refers to patented content. So it's whether they put it in there just because they were grabbing at verbs that said we can sell your stuff is a different issue. And if that's what they did, it just means that they didn't really know what they were doing when they were drafting. But people keep talking about renderosity. That's just such a totally different issue. If you have a question about renderosity, please ask Max and get in the queue, and I would love to talk about it. But the sell and resell thing is they're either talking about a section of intellectual property rights that would be rare for content on Second Life, or they're just putting in verbs that don't mean what they think they mean.
I mean, I guess the other side of it, let's just say that Linden Lab wanted to sell to some third party. They own their own intellectual property, which is how Second Life exists. And so there's nothing that we could do to prevent them from selling to another business or forming a new business entity and transferring their intellectual property rights. You know, where would that leave your rights? I guess it would be whatever license it is that's transferable by Linden Labs to any third party without your consent. You know, so does that mean they own, you know, does a successor company own your stuff? Well, no. I mean, you could probably close your account. But whatever license it is that Linden has that they can assign to anyone else, that other third party would then have the same license, in theory, to your stuff. And I don't know that they had to change the terms of service to accomplish that. I'm pretty sure the old terms of service permitted Linden Lab to assign itself, you know, to other people. And I don't think we had any limitations that we could enforce on their intellectual property. But I don't know. I don't clearly have all the answers to that part.
That's absolutely true. And you think about, you know, Instagram recently got bought by Facebook, and it didn't cause the world to end, and it didn't cause anybody's content in Instagram to suddenly disappear, and Instagram did not have to, before the sale, change their terms of service to allow the sale to go through. Companies always have, in their terms of service, the ability to transfer their content, the content that is stored on the service, because that is the value of the company. So that's not an issue.
Okay. The terms of the license granted under the TOS is really suspicious in that it stated that no bargain for exchange or value is given to the creator in exchange for the grant of the right. I don't know if such a lack of bargain for exchange would be upheld under contract laws. Perhaps that would depend on state laws more so than federal, particularly considering the reliance of creators on the previous terms of service.
I totally see what she's saying, but that is, courts have upheld the, you know, as long as you affirmatively regain consent. And that's why you have to click on the accept again. Tell her to check, I think, Blockbuster v. Harris. I think that's not the right case, but.
Well, one thing I will say, you know, unlike other systems, like I think Facebook's a good analogy. You know, the old Facebook terms of service were probably more limited, and then they kind of broadened what their rights are under the licensing in their terms of service. And you might say, well, I detrimentally relied on Facebook's old terms when I was uploading all of my controversial pictures of my friends on Facebook. But that's, I think, categorically different than a business that might detrimentally rely on Linden Lab providing a certain kind of availability. I think one of you mentioned, you know, it's really hard for you to take stuff you've made in world and transfer it to another world. I don't know that there's a universal world where goods in Second Life could be transferred to. They really only are good here. So there are some elements of we're here because we could operate a business in Second Life that could generate transferable and real world wealth. And you have substantially limited that ability to do that to our injury. Will you win on that argument? Would you win in court on that? I mean, detrimental reliance in light of the fact that there's an existing contract that you've agreed to is a hard case, but it's not that that's impossible. Again, you just sort of have to rely on a court to agree with you. Might vary, you know, depending on what court you go to. I don't know under California law because I don't practice there, but, you know, in Maryland, there's a lot of different rules. You know, that's a hard way to go about it, but not an invalid way. I mean, I do think there's a point there that this is a different place, Second Life, in terms of what we're doing here. And we relied on old terms of service to do it. So when you change that kind of out of the blue, I think that's fundamentally different than other systems.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
This kind of leads into the next question. Anonymous asks, how likely is this TOS to hold up under actual litigation based on precedents, etc.?
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer. I really don't know. I think it would depend. I mean, I guess I would have to defer to people that have litigated these sorts of things previously. I have not, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a litigator, but I can tell you that your big problem is always going to be the arbitration clause. So actual litigation is going to go to arbitration, and there's your problem. It's as for how it's likely to hold up. Personally, I think it wouldn't, but I think arbitration is always a crapshoot. So I think you're better off. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. It doesn't cost much to file claims before the courts, pro se. VIPO has assisted right holders by reviewing their complaints to ensure that those filings complied with legal requirements, etc., of course, within ethical rules governing the profession of attorneys. I do not believe it would hold up. It would hold if the correct cause of action was pleaded.
I agree with Juris. I don't think it would hold up. I definitely don't think it would hold up in court. I think your problem is getting to court. As for whether it would hold up in arbitration, it's a crapshoot.
The arbitration clause was challenged in Bragg versus Linden, and it didn't hold.
Yes, that was Bragg versus Linden, but that was before the Supreme Court threw out California's law against unfair arbitration clauses, and that was before the Supreme Court completely redid our entire thinking on arbitration. The Supreme Court has every year since 2009 upheld the FAA. And ever since 2009, companies have been strengthening their arbitration clauses in their terms of service. And every year the Supreme Court has been upholding them, and every year state courts have been upholding them. So arbitration clauses and courts in arbitration have just been getting stronger.
Samantha Orberg asks, with content creator having no choice but to accept the new TOS in order to log in, are there still grounds for legal action if our content is used without the creator's permission?
Yeah, I mean, you can still, you know, you can bring any case you want. There's no limitation in that sense. I think the question would be whether you are less likely to win, you know, because of affirmative consent to the terms of service. And I think, frankly, it's kind of a crapshoot. Agenda was talking earlier about unconscionability and contracts of adherence. And, of course, that's a state law, state-by-state thing. California is different than Maryland. I think we're actually less likely to side with consumers on that particular issue than California is. So it's kind of the same with this. I mean, you know, you could probably argue, and I think Bragg v. Linden in part argued successfully that there was a contract of adherence, you know, in that circuit. You know, they also at that time beat the arbitration requirement. But I don't know. I guess I'd defer.
Exactly. I believe that a strong case could be made on that basis.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I totally agree that there's absolutely grounds if your content was used without your permission. And I think there's absolutely grounds for unconscionability. And yes, Bragg v. Linden did use unconscionability and used it very well. And it kills me that Bragg v. Linden went to settlement and we don't have a great precedent on the actual case at hand, because that was a beautiful case.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, if you sent Linden Lab a DCMA takedown notice because they had something they were using without your permission, I wonder what they would do. I mean, you know, because the other side of it is they run the risk of a very large copyright judgment against them.
They run the risk of losing Section 230 Safe Harbor.
Yeah, because they're the ones doing it. They're not just facilitating it. So, yeah, that's an interesting question, whether that would be enough of a leverage to really hammer them. I don't know. I mean, maybe they would relent them. Interesting. And I don't know all the details about DCMA, but I assume that you'd be able to file it through their website first to make the complaint if they actually are using your content for themselves in a way that you didn't authorize. See what happens, but interesting point.
I think it's actually a good sign that all of the challenges made by users against Linden have settled, including Minsky.
It's a good sign, but it's a sad sign because it means we don't have any great precedents.
Well, I think it reflects the muddle, which is that it's really, there's no clear right or wrong answer because there's so little known. I mean, what I said earlier, I think this is really a brand new world. It's like when photography was invented. Back then, we weren't sure in the 1830s if copyright even applied to it. I think a lot of people thought it didn't, you know, and so this is kind of, unfortunately for everyone here, this is also kind of brand new world, so you don't really know. And Linden, having a lot of money, you know, their corporate attorneys are more likely to want to settle to avoid a bad precedent. But, you know, and the other side of it, I guess the only way you'll ever know is if you pursue it and see what you get.
Starlight Dark Matter asks, how is it they can apply this retroactively to content already created and uploaded prior to the new TOS?
Didn't we already discuss that? It's part of, you know, you are presented with the contract, you get the chance to read the contract, you agree to the contract. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the short answer, Starlet, is that it's not illegal for them to propose a contract like that. I'm not sure it's against public policy either. It might be. It's a contract of adherence. It might be against public policy, but it's not flat out illegal. So, you know, if you read it, you can be held to it. I mean, you can fight them, but there's nothing that really would, I don't think there's anything that would stop them from saying all your content means all your content. I mean, I looked at 1.1 just now in the terms of service that when it defines content. I don't think it doesn't exclude stuff. I mean, it says means any works. It doesn't say any works that are after the date of this term of service. You know, your continued use. I mean, I think that's what they're trying to claim. I'm not saying that's favorable to you, but literally any work, I think that means any work.
Okay. The next person, Caitna Brienne, I guess is how you pronounce that. Big issue I see is twofold, buying and selling work in and out of Second Life. I realize Linden Lab actually reselling material is unlikely, but as with CG textures and Renderosity, most textures, etc. providers do not allow reselling, and many or most media publishers insist on buying some form of limited exclusive rights to buy it at all, which is no longer possible under the change TOS. One of the main strengths of SL is how well it facilitated internet-wide business-to-business sake. How can the TOS changes be amended to protect this ability to build internet-wide creative?
While you guys are reading that and pondering it, I want to go back just a bit. It's not true that simply because you agree to the TOS that you cannot sue. There's nothing that can stop you from suing, in particular to clarify ambiguous provisions under the terms. So that's regarding our last question.
Okay, so should I jump in on this one with the CG Tech
Absolutely.
And Renderosity?
All yeah.
right, fabulous. There is nothing that has changed in the terms of service that drastically affects CG Tech and Renderosity's terms to the point that they should have reacted the way that they did. If they don't allow reselling, then they should never have allowed uploading to Second Life in the first place. And that they have gone off the rails and said, okay, you can never allow use of our stuff in Second Life now is, I think, an overreaction. Yeah, I think it's them jumping on a bandwagon and taking the opportunity to get some press and bash Second Life. I think it's silly, and I'm irritated and disappointed in both of them for rabble-rousing and poking at what is already a very sensitive hornet's nest. It's embarrassing. So you have always been able to sell stuff in Second Life. They should have never allowed upload to Second Life if they had a problem with reselling textures. Businesses can always be sold. If they had a problem with the idea that you could upload stuff to a business that might someday be sold, it's just silly. There, I'm done.
Yeah, I guess this limited exclusive right, you know, I don't know that you ever didn't give Linden Labs some kind of a non-exclusive right to things that you uploaded here. Agenda or Jurist, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that was the only way this could work, is if you uploaded stuff here that Linden had to have some kind of a license to it, and that it was a non-exclusive license to begin with. I don't know that that's really changed by the current terms of service, because I presume that you had to give them some kind of a license before that was non-exclusive. So if you had something that you wanted to license exclusively, I'm not sure this was the place to do it. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm not sure that's really anything new.
You have to give Linden Lab a license to make a copy, because they have to have a copy of it on their servers. You have to give them a license to modify it, because they have to put it in a different format to store it. You have to give them a copy, a license to publicly display, to publicly perform. You have to give them a license to distribute. You have to give them these licenses, or otherwise they cannot function. And you give the same licenses to, and that's why I showed you all of the other terms of services out there. You have to give people these licenses, otherwise the internet does not function. If you're looking to give your creative content somewhere that you're going to have to create an exclusive license, don't create it on Second Life. Don't create it on Facebook. Don't create it on Flickr. Don't create it on the internet where you're going to have to establish these kind of license agreements.
My position is that's their right as creators of digital art, as it's their right to control modifications or display of any kind of their work. While the right to control the publication of their works outside of the environment is very much an exclusive right of creators, and it's not a right granted under the terms. It is a question whether their distribution is in fact distribution if it is shared in world only. It is, in my opinion, a right to display.
Well, yes, but it has to be a right of distribution to distribute it over the internet. And that's been established. It's distribution over the internet is distribution. Well, there's different cases about it. Some courts have called it distribution if you just make it available, and some courts have called it distribution if there is actually transmission involved. So different courts have ruled differently, but there does have to be, you do have to have the right of distribution in order to make something, to transmit something across the internet. But yes, no, I completely agree with Juris. It is the right of creators to control modification or display of their work. You do have to give an online service provider some of these rights. But, you know, this comes back to what we're saying all along, is that your license, the permission that you give, should be limited. And you should be able to control what permission you give. And the problem here is that in this terms of service, Linden Lab is asking for such an unlimited and such a broad right.